Welcome
To
to
Talking
Comics,
Comics
episode,
let me guess, 108.
That was last week.
110.
We have a new sponsor this week.
Yellowbird Comics.
Read the top of your script.
Thank you to Yellowbird Comics for sponsoring this episode. Located in Fuquay, North Carolina, open 6 days a week.
Yep. Located.
Da, 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 da.
That's our local comic shop too. But yeah. They gave us an awesome gift, so I told them they were going to sponsor the show for a few days or a few week, couple weeks.
Couple weeks.
So yeah, that was cool. So thank you, Yellowbird. Go shop at Yellowbird if you're in the Fuquay area.
Do it.
Allegra Printing for all your printing needs.
That's my part. All your printing needs.
And then you can support the show on Patreon, Substack, or. There's sponsorship info on our website.
Sponsor us. Sponsor question time. Wahoo!
The big announcement for this week is we will be at Hidden Temple Toys on Saturday.
Yeah, we will be.
10 to 3 guaranteed. If it's still going, we'll still stay. But it kind of wraps up. The unofficial ending is 3 o'clock for the cosplay contest. So you'll have to do that. And then, yeah, so that's exciting. We get to do cosplay
free
stuff.
Comics.
And free comic book day. We are not giving our comic away for free.
Poo. Actually,
but,
not poo.
Yeah, not poo. But there will be free comics there, and you can pick up a copy of The Chronicles of Panel Pete, or Panel Pete Goes to the Moon, or a print, or a sticker. We got new stickers in. The Lunch Lady stickers showed up. So we're going to start fulfilling orders this weekend as well.
Yeah.
We also got some more of the panel, the Mighty Pete stickers.
You stole the Cheetos.
Braha stickers. And somewhere here is my Onicon stickers.
Onicon.
Did you steal them?
No.
Maybe. Here they are.
Dang it.
And there's the Onicon stickers. So very cool.
My eye.
All right, do you want to go over your weekly polls?
Sure.
You want me to go first?
I'll go first.
All right, go
in
ahead.
In your dreams, go ahead and do it.
All right, well. All right, so I picked this up. I thought it looked cool. So Hellboy in Love, it's a one-shot Hellboy. Since Kate Wendells likes Hellboy, I was like, we'll try. Give that a try.
Wendells.
Then we've got the final issue of the Planet She-Hulk, number 6.
Can you pause for a minute? You got to do the one synchronized.
Okay.
You know which one I'm talking about.
I know which one you're talking
okay.
about. And then I've got an invasion because we got the one shot of Space Minotaur came out. So I picked up all three covers, so that was really cool. Very excited to read that. The Do Not Disturb number 3, issue 3 came out. I got the A and B cover, so can't wait to read this. Then I got one more non-invasion or invader is the Silent Mission G.I. Joe Firefly. And then the last one we have to do together.
Yeah.
We got, because she's all excited, we got
The Digger.
Number 3.
The Digger.
A and B cover.
The Digger.
She's excited about getting The Digger.
The Digger. Wait, is this number 3?
Yep. And then that leads right into what you got.
So I got The Digger. I got I Hate Fairyland number 50.
Yep. You got a couple copies of that, right?
I think so. That's the wrong one. This is the correct one. So I got this one.
Yep.
And I got this one. I like this one more because it has Scotty on it.
Yeah, I was trying to pick another cover for you, and I was like, I like that one the best.
Yeah. I didn't go to the comic shop this week.
Yeah, I went yesterday.
Unfortunately.
I was in the area.
Crying. And then I got Harley Quinn and Elvira number 6, and I like this one.
Let me see the covers you got. I don't remember. Show them.
I got the doggy one.
Yeah, I like that one. I figured you'd really like that
one.
And
I also got this one.
Okay, that's the other one I got you. I couldn't remember.
I like this one.
Very cool.
They like switched outfits.
So nobody commented on guess how many you've read this week. So how many did you read this week?
I read zero. You got your hopes up.
I did.
You really did.
Try it again. Comment how many you think she'll read this week for next week. It won't be zero.
Or will it?
Or will it?
Or will it?
So you didn't read anything. So I read Continue My Journey into Mystery, 213 to 220. So we're getting on up there. Rest in peace, Gary Conway. I'm in reading his writing of the Thor right now. And it's, you know, he passed away this week. So that was sad. So, yeah.
Anyway, so I actually did read something this week.
What'd you read?
I read some of my, what's it called? I finished my Sailor Moon. I finished my second Sailor Moon book. I still have to find the third one because I don't know where my pretty sure I don't know where it's because I put it with my Harley Quinn red book when it was in your bedroom and it's kind of like sleeping there.
I didn't get any of that.
Okay. Well, if you know, you know.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. My rambling.
All right, so I'm looking forward to reading The Digger and all the Invader stuff, everything I got. I need just to read this week. I have some time on my hands, maybe. So,
yeah.
What'd you watch? Watch anything or play anything?
I think I played some Fortnite.
A little bit of Fortnite.
Oh, I played Life. The Game of Life. That's what I played. I did not play Monopoly, and I did not play Clue.
You played The Game of Life?
Yes.
Very cool.
I was pink.
I played Slay the Spire a little bit this week, and that was about it.
You play that every week.
I do. It's a fun game. And then we went to a con last weekend. Mm-hmm. So we had a convention in Greenville. Geektacular, met some really cool people. We were on the news, the local news station.
I was on the news again. And if I say, yes, I did say again.
Yeah, again.
Because
been on the news as a baby.
When I was a baby, I was on a billboard for the maternity.
The hospital.
The hospital.
The women's pavilion at the hospital.
Yes. And I was on a pamphlet cover, and I was on a magazine cover, and yes, I am that famous.
She's
was on a magazine cover, and I also was on an ad. I was on a commercial for the movie theater.
Yeah, at the movie theater. Local. And then, yeah, so we got to go to that. We sold a few books, met some really cool people, had a really good time. It was 10 to 4 last free event. Had really good turnout. I enjoyed it. Can't wait for next year. So support those guys. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So that was last Saturday. We got one this Saturday at the free comic book day coming up. I'm looking forward to that. Getting some free comics. Maybe selling some of ours. Hanging out at a comic and toy shop all day. And then we'll go to the next. I think we got a couple week break. And then we head to Michigan. So very cool.
Is it mail time?
All right, so real quick.
I did not notice that was there. I just thought that was a box. Oh, what is this? It's big. Oh, and it's kind of heavy. I'm scared.
So open that up from Yellowbird Comics.
There's a sticker on it.
It just opens.
It says luxury.
Slide it open, and then open it real quick. Now lift it up like a game board box. Oh. There you go.
ASMR for gamers.
Yep.
Okay, this is okay, finally. Ooh, this is cool. What is this? Well, I like this.
All right, now show it off.
Wait, hold on. This is cool. Oh, it's real fabric. Wait.
All right, show it off.
I don't know what this is.
It's got a weapon and hands.
This is cool.
1/6 scale Harley Quinn with interchangeable hair and different things.
This is cool.
Yep. So thank you to Yellowbird
Comics. Oh my God.
They know Annika loves Harley stuff. So we
Wait.
have to make sure it goes in the background with a little yellow bird sign
Oh
on it.
my, wait, is this like, wait, this is like one of those good figures.
Yeah.
Wait. Oh my God. She has feet. Thank you. Oh my gosh.
So thank you, Yellow Bird Comics.
This is amazing. Oh my God.
Thank you, Yellow
Thank
Bird.
you, Yellow Bird Comics. Okay, this is gonna be.
Russell at Yellow
Thank
Bird.
you, Russell. Oh my gosh.
All right, set it to the side for now, because
Well,
now we have guest
I kind of
time.
have to put it back in the box. Okay.
All right, it is guest time.
Do, 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 do.
Here we go.
Hey.
There he is. Hey, buddy. Sorry. Took us a few
Very
minutes
good.
going here. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, man. Chris Saloff's back.
Yeah.
Episode 11. Oh, we missed it by one. That was 99
Oh, by one.
ago.
So close. So close.
Close.
Because I'm launching issue 10, so it would have been perfect.
There you go. So this is episode 110. And you were on the first interview I ever did, episode 11. So that was crazy because that was about,
That
well,
is
not
crazy.
quite a year ago, but man, that's insane. You
Yeah,
met
man.
Monica. She's, over there just
Hi.
recording our weekly show.
To see you.
It's good to see you again, too. We got to see you in North Carolina Comic Con in November.
Yep.
I think we got to see each other. When's the next conventions you guys are going to?
Well, I'll be in Raleigh Saturday for Free Comic Book Day at Capitol Comics.
Oh, cool.
And then I have, and the same venue we did North Carolina Comic Con, I'm doing a toy convention the end of the month in March, the very last weekend of the month.
Of May.
And then after that, we have Terrificon, we have Heroes Con,
That's
and then
right.
we have,
We're going to be right next to each other at Terrificon.
Oh, hell yeah.
So,
Amazing.
yeah, Mike, because I'm sharing a booth with Mike Algier, right, from Dork Arts
Nice.
Comic,
Yep.
because he
Yep.
did the artwork of my book. So him and I are splitting, and then I found out through Dan that we're actually right next to each other. So that's
That's
really
awesome.
cool. So yeah, we'll get to hang out in August. That'll be a lot of fun.
I'm going to do NC Comic Con again in
Sweet.
November too.
Yeah,
So.
we need to do that. We did the one they had a couple weeks ago, the mini con in Raleigh. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I've been to that one once. It's good.
It's usually in Durham, but I guess Durham's the armory's like rebuilding or whatever, so they moved it into like the old Northern Tool building in Raleigh. So that was crazy. But it
Did
was a
you guys
lot of
have a fun
fun.
time?
Oh yeah, it was
Good.
great. We had a booth and we've had a booth. Yeah, we've done four shows, four or five. We're doing a free comic book day at Hidden Temple Toys Saturday in
Oh,
Selma,
nice.
North Carolina. So that's
Yeah,
really
I know
cool
that.
for us. So
That is, who's the guy that plays?
Oscar.
Yeah, that's his comic book
That's it.
store, or his toy
Well, it's
store. Yeah,
not his. It's his
like
cousin
it's the
owns
place
the
he goes.
store.
He shouts out. Yeah.
Yeah, he was wearing a Hidden Temple toy shirt on Hot Ones
Yep.
last week. Yeah, so he's that was pretty cool that he was in Clayton. I don't know, around that same time, like a week ago, and the girls at the library were freaking out because he was just like at a coffee shop right across the
That's so cool.
street. Right? He just comes to hang out in Johnston County, North Carolina, which is insane. You
So
never
many famous
know.
people out this way.
Right? It's weird, isn't it?
So why can't we stay in North Carolina? He wants to move to
I want to
Oklahoma.
move. I want to
I
move to
don't like
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma because there's too many tornadoes.
Right?
I never lived in Oklahoma. One of my brothers did for a while, but he was a little kid, so.
Yeah, my brother lives out
We
there, so we go out there every year.
went for like a week or like 2 weeks. I did not sleep like
At
little
all.
at all. 'Cause there was like thunderstorms every single night, and it was so loud.
They have some big storms out there. It gets crazy.
Like,
They do.
But yeah, Chris, you're here. You're back visiting. Tell us why you're here. I know why you're here. Tell everybody else why you're here.
I have my 10th issue of Crit Constantly Running Into Trouble on Kickstarter right now. So this series launched in 2020. I started drawing in 2019, released the first book in 2020, actually in July. I ran my first Kickstarter campaign in April of 2020. So it's exactly 6 years since I launched the first one. So in 6 years, I've done 10 books. You know, there is a little curiosity about the numbering. So last issue, technically when I launched it, was 8, but we remastered 1 and remastered 5. And in the process of remastering, I added so much content to issue 5 that I had to break it up into 2 books. It was too big for, like, it was like 65 pages. Wow. So, I talked to the guys and I was like, hey, like, cause we're in retail now, and a 65 page book in retail is impossible to sell. It's just too expensive. So I had to cut book 5 in half, and I didn't want to do a 5.1 and a 5.2 because that gets confusing. Like, the whole thing was just very confusing. I'm like, screw it, we're just going to renumber. And now I pulled a Todd McFarlane. You know, I skipped an issue and filled it in and did all that. But it's comics, and, you know, we're independent comics, so we can do this. But when I split it, I was like, wow, that actually puts me at 10 issues. And really, I have issue 0. So, like, there's really 11 issues of Crit floating around now. But, you know, it's as an independent creator, I don't really take the time because I'm always head down the tablet. I'm either drawing my book, lettering a book, publishing a book, working on something, you know, a script, working on marketing. There's always something that we're doing. And I never really sit back and was like, wow, I've done 10 books. You know, like, that's a big feat for indie comics. And so, you know, we launched on Kickstarter. It funded. So we're doing well there. I'm really close to the first stretch goal. I'm $200 away. And we're almost at like 60 backers, which is just phenomenal, you know, the first weekend. So I'm just stoked. Like, everything's rolling really nicely. This issue has so many amazing covers. When I put out to my friends in the community that Crit has 10 covers, everyone was like, oh, I want to do a cover for you. Crit is doing issue 10. And I just want to see who would do covers because, you know, people are busy. Dan's doing a book. Dennis is doing everyone's working on something, but everyone wanted to be part of it. Even, you know, Jason Farrow, who's been working on Convictor now, and I know he's behind on it. And generally when he's got his head down working on a book and he's behind on something, he will not do anything. And I was like, hey, do you want to do a cover? And he was like, I will for you. You know, and that was awesome. And then I was lucky enough to be able to commission Joey Vasquez from Marvel to do a cover. And I had met Viken Marion a couple years ago at Heroes. And saw him at Baltimore and saw him at New York Comic Con. And we had been talking. I was like, hey, like, would you ever be interested in doing a cover for Crit? And he was originally going to do one for the last issue, but we couldn't get the schedules to work together. And so early on, I shot him a message and said, hey, I'm going to launch my 10th issue. Do you want in? And he was like, count me in. And, awesome. You know, he's got Nightwing. He's got Green Lantern. He has all this stuff at DC going on. And he does the Topps cards now. He's like, he's just everywhere. And I shot him a message and I was like, hey, if you're too busy, that's fine. And he was like, no, I'll get you pencils this week. And it was a couple weeks later. I was like, hey, dude, like, I know you're slammed. He's like, no, I will have them tomorrow. And I get like 3 different pencils. He's like, pick whichever one you like and tell me. And I did. And not even a week later, I got the inks. And then he's putting me in contact with his colorist that works on Nightwing. And wow. I get this amazing freaking cover. And I'm like, you know, for my 10th book, having Viken Marion, he's one of the guys coming up that I really look up to. And he's such a cool guy, and like, he's been sharing out and really awesome about it too. Like, it's one thing to commission somebody and they're like, cool, take your money. They don't share it. They don't do anything, but he's out there. Like, he's reposted my stories. He's just such a cool dude. So anybody that's, you know, looking at Viken Marion as an artist, he's also an awesome dude, very, very, very successful and very involved in the community. So I was blessed on that one. Like, that cover just blew me away. And then after getting all of my cover artists in line, I was talking to Dan Price from Bigfoot Knows Karate. And he's like, well, when are you going to do a cover? Because the last cover I did was issue one. And really? I'm like, I don't. Okay. Yeah, I don't like doing covers. I do covers for other people every once in a while. Very few. I've done The Elements. I've done, the Caspian Porter versus Celestial Knight. I did that one. And I've done like a couple others for some friends. But I just, cover work is so, I don't know, it's like a big splash page. And my brain is like on sequential all the time, that taking me away to do a cover, it was really tough. And I'm like, I'm just arguing with him back and forth. And he's like, well, I do all my A covers because, you know, if you're doing the interior work, people want to see your work on the cover. And he made this like comment that I know he didn't mean anything by, but he's like, you know, he said it. And I was like, dang it, Dan, now I got to do a cover.
Now you have to do a cover.
So I was like, I was at a dozen and I'm like, I got 12 covers. That's cool. We do a dozen for issue 10. Like, and then I threw mine in and I'm like, well, now I have a dirty dozen, you know? So, and I can't even pick my favorite cover. That's the problem. And you know, they're just so many awesome artists and, I'm just blessed. I'm really blessed. So that's live on Kickstarter right now. Like I said, we're $200 away from the first stretch goal. So
awesome. You still got a couple weeks to go, at least like 3 weeks, right? You just launched it.
I'm literally, 3 weeks. Yeah. So there's a lot of time to get in. This book's fun. You know, I can talk about the cover work all day long, but this book is literally about a guy named Staccato Mamba. So, and I it wasn't planned this way, but in issue one, Crit is, they're tasked with taking down this local gang called the Legion. They do, the boss of the gang, Sanguine, actually has powers. They don't realize it. And it kind of sets off a set of events where eventually they take down Sanguine completely in issue five. And now the Legion is back to get revenge on Crit. And their new boss, Staccato Mamba, has powers where he is like a bard character in D&D, because for those of you that don't know, Crit is based off of a D&D campaign, a superhero D&D. And he's a bard. So when he sings, everyone listens. And so he's modeled after, even when we played the game, I always pictured him as an Eddie Mercury style bad guy. So he's, you know, picture Eddie Mercury as a gangbanger. And when we were playing this game, I had just watched Ninja Turtles 1. And there's a scene in Ninja Turtles where they're in that house and the foot just keeps coming and keeps coming and keeps coming. And the floor caves in. And so that was my thought process. I was like, they just have an endless wave of enemies coming at them. And as a DM, it was me also trying to gauge their power level at the time too, because we had done some level adjusting in the game mechanics wise. And I was like, it would just be fun to have this big, massive combat session. And so there's just this endless wave of guys coming to fight them. And this guy is just singing the entire time. And eventually he does get through to them and starts controlling them. So they fight each other. And it's a big mess. And then you've got the animals in there pouring hot coffee on people's heads and the cat scratching people. So it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of chaos. And it all takes place in a coffee shop. So, you know, we talk about barroom balls. This is a coffee bar.
Coffee room ball. Coffee shop brawl. I love it. That's awesome.
I like the cat.
She's a huge cat
fan. What's the cat's name?
Demetti.
Demetti?
He drinks rum, he smokes cigars, and he scratches people all the time.
That's amazing.
He's in the first issue too, right? The cat?
He comes in the very first issue.
Yeah, that's what I remember now, vaguely.
I love cats.
She's a huge cat fan.
Me too.
Like cats, but it's just, that's just
I me. Like all animals, some more than others, you know, but...
Right, like... Other people's animals are what I like. I don't want any to take care of, you know? I have kids. That's, you know, hard enough to take care of the kids, you know?
Yeah, I was telling somebody the other day, I was like, pets are kind of like kids. They're great when they belong to other people.
Right. You know? I love my kids.
I have my own, but, you know.
Yeah, we all have our own, but they're great too. Right, Annika?
Yeah. Unless you're in Victoria's situation.
Oh my goodness. My oldest daughter. She's struggling. She's learning. She's 24. You know, she's figuring life out. You know, I'm 44 and don't have life figured out. So, you know, there's that.
We don't got to talk about that.
But no, that's awesome. I hope everybody goes and checks that out. Anika, if you have a few more minutes, she has her this or that that she loves to do with guests.
Oh, we're doing that right now. I need a pen.
So if you want to do that with, do you have a pen?
No.
Let me find you a pen.
Me catch it.
Yeah, good luck.
We can use this hat as a green screen.
There's probably 14 pens in the cushions of that couch because, you know, I don't.
Let me try to find one.
I know that feeling. Every time I look, I went and bought pens the other day and then I found a bunch in my car.
Right. You got it? All right. You didn't.
I caught it. Okay.
So yeah, do your the first one on there.
Okay.
She's gonna give you fake points that don't mean a thing. It's like Whose Line. Everything's made up and the points don't matter.
That's totally fine. I like it.
But you were saying you have 12 while she's figuring that out. She have 12 covers. I did almost the same thing. I did 7 covers for my book. It was crazy. I had 6, and then Mike's like at the last minute's like, I'm doing a second cover. I'm like, okay. So I ended up with 7 covers, which was insane. It's a lot of fun, though.
Yeah.
And I
just
really
read
enjoyed the process.
So Absolute Batman, whatever number they're on, 20 or some of them, whatever they're doing right now.
I got it.
It's got 130 covers.
What?
Yeah.
Because it's like the first Robin, I think, in this universe or something.
I don't know. I don't think it justifies 130 covers. But.
No, not at all. Because like every store has their variant cover and like it's insane.
If anybody was a comic fan in the 90s, I'll be 43 this year. And I remember when comics crashed because Marvel was like, let's have a million covers. And everyone's like, let's have a million covers. And then that was part of the crash was because it was a collector's market at the time. And everyone was chasing these covers thinking, oh, I'm going to get rich off these number ones and all these collectible covers. And nothing was worth anything, you know?
Right. Yeah, I try not to do too many variants, but I even get a suckered into that too. I mean, hell, I did 7 covers, so I can't say anything.
But my covers
I usually do 4. I do a rule of 4. So I do 2 standard and 2 collector.
Okay.
And then one of those will filter into like a metal variant or something, but I try to keep it to 4 because on Kickstarter, you know, you do want to have options.
Right.
This was, it's a milestone issue and, you know, I think when I was trying to justify it to myself, I was like, I don't mind having so many on here because it is a milestone issue and it gives everybody a chance to really be part of this on a bigger level. You know, like William Russell did a cover. All my friends got to do a cover. So it's if you go to the core of what Crit is, it's about me and my friends playing D&D. So getting my other friends involved in it, allowing like so many covers, I was like, hey, like this is like playing D&D. They're just their character sheets or their covers. And so
look at it.
Is it a lot? Yes. It's more than I would normally like to have, but I can't count my blessings enough that so many people want to be part of this.
I was shocked at that too. Like the support that I got from the community, like I didn't ask for much. I only asked for like $500 on my Kickstarter and we did like 1,000. But just the support from the community, like, was amazing. And the people that backed for no, like, reward, like, was crazy to me. But it's cool.
The indie community right now is very strong. Yeah. So in 2020, we had this big burst with indie creators. And, I mean, that's when I came in, you know. But I was part of that like bum rush of indie creators going to Kickstarter because we were all stuck at home and we were getting money to do nothing with. So we were blowing it on, well, you know, nostalgia, you know, comic books. And now we have this, there was like this peak, right? And then like 23, 24, everyone started to realize making comics is hard. Day jobs started coming back. We're not allowed to be remote anymore. We got to go home. Or we actually go to the office. So we don't have that time. And creating comics was not as convenient. So a lot of people fell off. But now we have that core community that stuck around. And they were, and they've cultivated a really good community around that. So now when new people are coming in, it's not the Kickstarter burst, it's the actual community support, which I really like.
That's a great vision. I didn't think about it that way. But the COVID class, I guess you'd say, right? You know, I did it because I started interviewing all you guys, and you know, you're like, I did this comic and I did it. I was like, well, I want to do this. And I wanted to learn the process, right? Like learn how to do it. And
it is
a better way to learn than to do it, right? But I hired an artist. I wasn't like you, and you know, you gruel over, you know, 200 different variations of, was it a coffee bean I saw in a video a few weeks ago?
Yeah. I decided during that, so issue zero, issue zero is me and my daughter working together.
Awesome.
And I didn't want to do something violent. My kid's 16, but she's not, you know, she's into the animals and she wanted to do something with the animals. And I said, fine, I'll do the animals in the coffee shop. And it's the cat versus the coffee beans. Cause also everyone always asks me, where can I get most of the cat? So now I have a whole story, 6 pages of just Sumedi fighting magic coffee beans. And it, when I was drawing it, I was like, I don't, you know, I'm a digital artist. And one of the things that we get all the time is, oh, you can just copy paste everything.
Right.
And I was like, I'm not copy and pasting any of these beans. I'm going to draw every single one. And I drew this page where there's this wave and it's thousands of coffee. And I'm just sitting there drawing on TV. And I remember literally zoning out, just making ovals and ovals and ovals. And I'm like, I'm never doing this again. And I'm so stubborn that no one told me not to copy and paste, but I was like, so determined not to. But now I will not draw any more coffee beans.
I will have.
But on this campaign, we do have Crit Homebrewed Coffee, whole latte trouble. There, it is an add-on, so you can do an add-on to it, or in the big tiers, there is, I think in all the collectible tiers, there's a bag of coffee beans that goes with it. And the big tier does come with a homebrewed coffee mug, which you can add on as well. So I figured, you know, Frit and caffeine go together, so, you know, and it takes place in a coffee shop, I might as well finally have my own coffee beans.
Have your own coffee. That's pretty cool. I love that. All right, Annika, you ready?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Give me.
All right.
Give me
she has her rightest, her writer version of this or that.
Yes. Oh, Dad, you're also participating.
Oh, I'm participating. Great.
Both of you are participating.
I guarantee you, I will lose.
Or will he? Okay. Plot first or script first?
Who's answering first?
Oh, and now since you wrote a comic, you can actually participate.
Oh, is that why?
Okay. Yeah.
If you're asking, are you asking me first or him first?
You. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. It's for me, it's plot. I can't write a script until I know the plot.
Okay.
I have to go the same.
Okay. Well, let me do some calculations.
Are you right or wrong? Are we right or wrong?
You are incorrect. He is correct.
We had the same answer.
I know. But, like, I gotta give him a head start. So it makes sense.
See how this doesn't make any sense? But
that's dad math. Dad right. math for you.
And that was the opposite one that I circled. Okay, so, wait.
All right. I'd have to plot first.
Okay. So,
yeah, it's tough to just sit down and start scripting without knowing, like, my roadmap, you know?
Right, exactly.
Okay. Digital drafts or old school notebook?
I'm an old school notebook guy. I have all my D&D stuff is in a Trapper Keeper right over there. All my notes. Yep.
An old school Trapper Keeper. That's amazing.
Yep.
I go notebook. I have a note. It's actually in my briefcase. Okay. It's in the car at the moment. But I'm going to go notebook as well.
Both of you are correct.
Yes.
Heck yeah. Look at us. Two for two.
Well, don't be cheering.
Two with the same answers. But
oh.
Don't be cheering yet. Just warning you.
That's great.
Okay, so okay, world building or character development?
So for comics, I like character development. I think the more you develop a character, you can build the world around that. But if you're not invested in the characters, you don't care about the world around them. So I would say character development first.
What about you, Dad?
I mean, I have to go character as well.
Okay.
Because it was really fun, like, coming up with the characters when I was writing the script. And giving a little description of each one, you know. And then Mike, he jumps in, and like when he helped, I gave him co-writing credits because he would add certain things. Like he was just, you know, because he's so much better at this than I am. And it was just such a great process. But go ahead.
Okay, so both of you got the correct.
Yes.
Because I'm nice. Okay, coffee-fueled writing or late-night crunch?
I'm a late-night crunch guy because I work all day and I stay up all night.
I do. I'd stay up way too late too. Yeah, I'll go with that one too. The late night.
Okay. Well, I thought you had picked coffee fueled branding because your comic is based in a coffee shop. But like,
so funny thing, I actually don't drink coffee. I only drink energy drinks or take. I have a box of caffeine pills in my room that I take.
There you go. No coffee.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. My mom drank it as a kid and it was always gross to me. And then when I actually got COVID and so I couldn't smell or taste for 6 years, but coffee smelled so bad. It was one of the only things that had a smell and it was the worst smell to me because nothing was correct, you know? And so for 6 years, I couldn't even stand coffee. And now it's like, even though I smell it and some smell good and things, I'm like, nah, I'm just, you know, it's been so long, I'm good.
Yeah, I get that for sure.
Okay, well, next. Working seller or
collaborating?
I was about to say that. Why'd you do that? Collaborating with the team. You get a negative.
As someone who has worked solo and also collaborated, there are benefits to both, but I feel like having good collaboration allows for more growth with a story. Recently, I've been working with Dan on a story, and I've got another book that I'm working on with Drew.
Sweet.
And, you know, getting that. So, you know, with my guys, I have 6 years now of collaborative writing, and we know each other so well that our style has really been solidified. And we kind of know the answers before we ask them. With Dan and Drew, it's a whole new experience. And I feel like I'm growing even more learning from how we bounce off each other. So the collaborative piece, I think, is something some people sleep on.
I 100% go collab because working with Mike was the best collaboration ever. Like we worked very well together. We had so much fun throughout the whole process. I wouldn't want to do it by myself.
Okay.
See, a big thing for anybody that listens to this and is looking into collaboration, the first thing that needs to go if you're going to be in a collaborative effort with someone, no egos. You can't do collaboration if you have an ego.
100%.
Well, you best got that one correct. Okay, on to the next. Okay, story arc planning or one-shot focus?
Ooh. That's tough.
It is.
So I have, as someone who has a 42 issue arc, like my story is 42 issue. I wish that I had done a one shot to begin with, to be quite honest with you. I have a second book that I've been working on for years on the side called Mr. Wizard and Friends, which is a one shot 4 to 6 issue book. And I wish I had kind of done that one first to cut my teeth, because as an independent creator, taking on a 42 issue story with no prior understanding of comic books, you know, besides being a reader, you know,
right.
And I say no prior, but as I got into comic books, my whole family's like, oh, I work in printing for, you know, this company. And, you know, I've handled DC. Like I found all these connections I had, but like when I first got into it, it's like I had no clue, and I wish I had done a one shot just to cut my teeth to understand everything a little bit better. And so for future people, I would say before you take on, I'm gonna write an entire universe with 16 connective books, and I hear these things from people coming into comics, and I'm like, do one book, do one short story, do something, cut your teeth, because you don't know what you're getting yourself into.
Right.
And I go back to being stubborn. My stubbornness is why I'm still here, because right. It is hard. And there are many times where I'm like, why am I doing this to myself? my friends and family were like, you have no deadline. No one's beating you up. Why are you doing it? I'm like, because I put on a live one time that I'm doing 42 books.
Right.
So if I die, Dennis is finishing my book and my kids work.
Okay. That's
it's in my will. I already told Dennis.
That's 100%. Like, I love the fact that I did a one shot, right? And I can do another one shot in the same storyline or same character, right? Because it's all based on our mascot, right? And he can be in any timeline, in any universe. And I have, you know, 10 one shots planned, right? Even Annika wrote a zine about, you know, one shot zine a couple weeks ago, which was really
cool. He goes to the moon.
That's awesome.
And we could do so much with it, and we don't have to worry about 42 issues, right? And keeping up with that. And I've heard a lot from the people, you know, I've talked to on here that, especially if you're going to a publisher, having a, you know, 1 to 4, 6 book run of a complete story is so much easier for a publisher to digest than 42, 50 book issue, you know, a series. Uh-huh. You know, that they may not want to take on all that, but if they have, they know they can be done in 4 issues, they're more likely to pick that up as well.
See, when I got into it, I was like, why would anybody want to pick up just 4 to 6 issues? Like,
right?
And so I had this whole like different experience on it. And I worked in distribution for a while and I made some connections and I was like, hey, no one's really biting on this story I have. And they were like, it's kind of ambitious, don't you think? And I'm like, I guess they don't know me.
Right. They don't know you.
It might be ambitious, but I'm going to get it done.
Right.
And they were like, you know, any publisher looking at, I have to commit to 42 issues. And I was like, I didn't look at it that way. Like, they're not committing to me. They're committing to their readers that they're going to put out 42 issues. And I was like, yeah, that is kind of, I guess, intimidating when I'm a nobody, you know, like right. It's not like I'm Scott Snyder going, hey, I want to pitch 42 issues. I'm Chris Saloff, who nobody knows at all. So fun story real quick. What's awesome about this Saturday at Capital Comics? I wish Dan was here. If you didn't know, I was in a band. That's an inside joke. I hope he listens to this and gets it. I was in a band for years. I was signed to a subsidiary of Sony Records, and the guy who signed my band, signed my first record contract with, owns this comic store, and he used to work there when he was a kid. So when he made his music money, he bought the comic book store, and I ran into him at Heroes Con, and I'm like, what are you doing here? He's like, oh, I bought my comic book store. And so we've been in contact over the years, and he was like, you know, I've had this store and you need to come up and do an event. And so yeah. I get to go do Free Comic Book Day with the guy who signed my band.
That's awesome.
So, great.
You know, I got to say,
like, owns our store. Oh, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Oh, just the full circle of everything that I'm doing. Like, when I'm knee deep in it and I can't see outside of my box, it's very stressful. When I take my head out of it and I'm like looking around and I'm like, wow, like my life in pieces led to here, like all the different things that I'm realizing. It's like, that's so cool. Like, I'm just surrounded by so much fun and awesome experiences within comics that I'm just blessed to be here.
That's pretty cool. I've been to that shop a couple times. It's only, you know, 35 minutes up the road.
Oh, really?
But I go to Yellowbird in Fuquay, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And that's like our local store, or the closest store. But they're very good friends. And like, if he can't get something, like the guy at Capital, give it to him, you know.
Yeah, Tommy's such a good dude.
Yeah, they've been great.
So you may have heard me say this before, but when I did bodybuilding for a few years, and I got really sick at a show and almost died.
Oh God!
I actually was given after a show, I was given 3 days to live. That show was in Fuquay.
Dang!
So that's
the bodybuilding show.
Yeah. So I did six competitions back to back, and I couldn't break third place. I was in my 30s when I started competing. I'm, you know, young guys and everything, and I wasn't taking all that fun stuff. And I just wore my body out, and I didn't know that I had a condition where I don't produce potassium naturally. So hydrating and rehydrating and all that wear and tear on my body, my cells just started to explode. And apparently, if I hadn't drank half a gallon of Pedialyte I would have died. So like the potassium and the Pedialyte was what kept me alive.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So that's my memory of Fuquay.
Right? Stick with Capital Comics in Raleigh.
Yeah.
Because you're on the other side of Raleigh, right?
Yeah, I'm in Winston-Salem, High Point area.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, we're like 30 minutes southeast of Raleigh, so that's where we're at.
Yeah.
All right, Annika, what's next?
Where are we at?
Okay, next question. Next, I'm assuming you both picked one shot.
Yeah, we both picked
one shot. Yeah. Yep. Okay.
What's the score? Can you give us a total, like where we're at the moment?
You have 3. He has 5.
Oh,
I took one away.
Because I said the word she was trying to sound out, so I get penalized.
Oh.
Should I take 2?
No. I was just explaining the rules.
Are you sure? Because I'll cross it out.
Go ahead.
Okay. Original P. Or licensed franchise.
Ooh, so that's a really good question. I will say that that's a tough question to answer. If I were as a publisher, licensed products are great for a publisher. Licensed products are very tough for a writer. So if you're a writer looking to get out there, focus on your own IP because you have the freedom to do whatever you want. But a publisher loves licensed products because they come with built-in fan base, guaranteed sales, and those things. So it really depends. I'm going to lean towards own IP because, again, I'm doing 42 issues of my own book, and I'm going to beat my head against the table for that one. And as the owner of Frit and everything with it, if someone were to come to me and say, hey, I want to turn this into this, I would have a roadmap for them. This is all you can do. And I would be very protective of it. And so for writers, that's very tough because here's your sandbox, but you're only allowed to play with certain toys.
Right. I would definitely on original own IP stuff, right? Like having my own comic, own stuff, could do whatever I want in it. Being able to, I mean, even to the point of, you know, you guys all helped me, you know, with putting the book in your covers in the book, in the comic shop, mm-hmm. in my story, right? Like, stuff like that was so cool to me. And then Dennis doing that Burlap Kills the Indie Universe yep. collab thing and added our mascot. Like, if that, like stuff like that, just having the freedom in the indie space to do that kind of stuff is so much fun. So I'm going.
Did I miss your Kickstarter?
I thought you were. I'll have to go look. I thought you backed it. Somebody, I know Dan backed it. I can look, yeah.
Just make sure, because you launched, I think, during my tax season, and this was the worst year I've ever had.
Really?
So, yeah, if I missed it. Yeah, if I missed it, let me know, and I'd like to get in on whatever you got.
Okay. Yeah, let me pull it up. I closed all my tabs out before I started recording, so I got to log back in. But it won't take but a minute.
And my cat just threw up on the floor. That's great.
Oh, we love that.
Is it okay?
He's fine. He's mad because I'm not giving him attention. So that's what he does.
So he makes give him attention.
Yeah. He just started throwing up. He's 3 and he's a long-haired cat. So he's, you know, like they build up over time that the hair and stuff. So he just started throwing up this year and now it's more of... He's mad because I'm on here and not paying attention. I haven't been home all day, and he wants me to give him wet food, and I haven't done that yet. So,
pates.
Yeah, he's mad, so he's gonna throw up on the floor.
Okay, my cat. Yeah,
so I got Dennis and Dan backed. I guess you didn't.
I really when you said it, I was I think I missed that one.
Slacker. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. It's
sorry.
Okay. Hey, we're going to be right next to each other at Terrificon.
Cool.
I'll get you a book there anyway. I owe all of you a book anyway.
Well, want to support. So, you know, you just let me know what I'd like. Have you ordered all the books yet?
So the cool thing about it is I ordered them. I got to tell this story now. Sorry, because Chris has to hear it. So we finished the book and Annika and I went. I have a friend who owns a print shop in Traverse City, Michigan. So it's 15 hours from here. But we drove to 15 hours to his print shop, and he let us sit there all day one day and just pick out paper. I have a pile of paper over here, you know, this thick of just different textures, you know, thicknesses, gloss, not gloss, matte, whatever. We spent a whole day just picking the paper. And then we finally settled on the paper, so he ordered it. Next morning, paper showed up. We actually got to go through every step ourselves, like hit the button on the machine to hit print, take it off the machine, put it in the cutter to trim the pages, score the machine that scored the covers, and like everything. And I got to feed everyone through the machine that actually saddle stitched it, folded it, and trimmed it.
Oh, that's so cool.
And she stood on the other side and cut, you know, started boxing them up. And I actually want to put a mini documentary. I'm thinking about doing a Kickstarter for the documentary. Somebody gave me that idea the other day. But I want to put like a 30-minute documentary together of that whole process, and mm-hmm. just to show like the community, because there's not a lot of info out there on that kind of stuff, right? Like everybody makes comics, but we made our comic. That's really cool. So I have boxes on the floor beside me here, but it's here. There it is.
That's awesome.
It's all here.
Well, I'm definitely going to be picking up a copy at Terrificon then, because yeah.
No worries,
buddy. And I apologize for missing that.
It's fine.
It's been a busy, you know, with the burlap stuff, you know, work, right. And then trying to get my book and the other stuff we've discussed. Like, it's been
your name's in the book. I have everybody listed on this page that let me put their cover in the book, right?
Oh, I'm stuck. I remember when Mike was working on that.
Yeah.
He didn't tell me what it was for, though. He just said, hey, I want to put your covers on this shelf. And I was like, whatever you need, Mike.
Let me find it. I'll show you real quick the page. Is it this page? Yeah. So it's hard to see on this page, but like there's Crit right there. Heck, on the shelf.
He sent me some of this stuff. And honestly, like Mike does so many different things.
Right.
I was just like, Mike's doing another book. And I can't tell you how much I'm sorry.
It's all right. No, don't worry, buddy. It's awesome. I appreciate you know, Dennis including us in the indie thing that he did, you know, that take over the indie universe thing. And you guys have been super cool with me. Like I said, you're pretty much where it all started for me on doing like the interviews. Like your feedback after that interview when I kept you on and been like, hey, dude, you know, this is my first interview. How did I do? You know, you've been through hundreds of these. This is my first one. And, you know, you giving me that positive feedback back, you know, really carried the momentum of me continuing to do that. I'm doing an interview a week, and then her and I do this show every week, you know, so much so where I had to get you on this show, right? Because I couldn't get just. We're booked till like August now. It's crazy.
We need in the community good shows.
That's my goal. I hope to be one of those.
No, this is, I felt bad. Like I had a lot of health stuff going on the last few weeks too, after between work and then health and just working in taxes, having over 100 employees and having to shut it all down in 2 days. Like it's just, it was a lot. And then the stress of everything, like I didn't get out of bed for 4 days. It was tough. And so when you messaged me, I was like, man, I actually missed two shows because of that, that whole thing. And I missed two. You were one. And then Talking Geekly, like, and I felt bad because I was like, those are two shows I really like being on. And we have a lot of podcasters that we talk to, but not a lot of podcasters that will know about your book before you get on or have an idea of what you're doing. And I think... Right. If I were to give feedback to anybody in the podcast community, and I'm not talking about anybody in particular, just like if you're running a comic podcast and you bring a guest on, at least take 5 minutes and know the title of their book, know a little bit about what they're doing, because we take a lot of time out of our day too. And I know it's, you know, there is a symbiotic relationship here of I get my book out and you get content, but we get on here excited, and it's kind of defeating sometimes when the person's like, what's your book called? Grit? And I'm like, no, I sent you the book.
Right.
Oh, is this Deadpool? No, that's Caliber. He's red, but he's not Deadpool. You know, like that kind of stuff. I've dealt with that over, you know, these years of doing the shows. And sometimes like, I'm like, why do I even bother? You know, like it, I'm, And so like when I missed yours, I actually genuinely felt really bad. And I was like, man, and I know the schedule too, like, cause you're really busy and I'm really proud of you guys, really happy for you too.
Thank you.
I was like, oh, right. I'm screwing up his schedule now.
No, that's why I added this Thursday pop-in option, especially for people like you that have been on before. And I'll do it for other people. Like if they really have to get on, you know, I'll let somebody that hasn't been on before, but this is a really cool way to where I can have repeat guests. Right. So mm-hmm. if people want to come back, we already really, you know, we pretty much know each other. We've met or we've interacted enough, you know, I'm comfortable having them on with my daughter. Right. Cause
right.
I don't want a lot of people I've never met being on with my daughter without talking to her first.
That.
Right. So I'm trying to protect that part of
we've
it.
We've met him in person.
But we've met
too.
Yeah. We met him in person.
I exist in real life.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're not AI.
You're not AI. Exactly. So, but this has allowed me to add another time slot for people because I feel bad too. Cause you know, I have people reach out and I'm like, here's my link, but you know, I hope you have 3 months to wait. Right. And they're like, well, I need to be on here.
So happy for you on that. You know? Really? I could not be happier for you. Like I do remember that first show too. Cause I was at work and like my laptop wasn't working. I couldn't get the internet going and I'm sitting there like I was a mess too because I had been boxing stuff up all day and I was
packaging your latest Kickstarter, I think.
Yep. Or something. I had been sitting there in the office shipping books all day and I'm like, before I launch this thing, I have to ship all these other books before I hit the launch button. And I remember sitting there going, I never do a Kickstarter or a show where I'm worn out. Like I like to bring really good energy. And I didn't know anything about anything that was going on. I'm like, I got to get on this thing. And I was worn out. And by the end of it, I was really energized. I felt real good. And so I'm happy that I was able to give you that feedback because that show, I walked in knowing nothing and I left and I was worn out, you know, and I left like actually energized with no caffeine. Like we had such a good conversation that I was like, man, now I'm pumped, you know?
Right.
So awesome that you now have enough for two shows and like you're booked out 3 months. That's just amazing.
Are you ready for the next question?
I think
ready.
Okay, I'm pretty sure you got the last question correct. I don't even know what it was. Okay, notes and red pen or digital comments.
Sorry, what was the first one?
Notes and red pen or digital comments.
It's like referring to like feedback, I guess, if somebody's looking at your stuff.
I prefer digital because people's handwriting is really hard to read. And when it's in red pen, it reminds me of high school and all the times I would make my teachers mad. And so I'd rather have notes in a Google Drive so I can just like remove them when I'm done. Like I've cleared that note off. I'm good.
100% agree. The digital notes for sure.
My handwriting isn't bad.
She got it from me.
Mine's terrible.
It's horrible. So,
my daughter, when she in fifth grade, she went to remote school because of COVID, you know, and so she didn't go back until halfway through seventh grade, and when she went back, she was very shy and. Her and I had this routine and it was really tough on her. So every day I would send notes with her to school. And so still to this day, she's a sophomore in high school. And I still, when I drive her to school, I will put a note in her lunch. She still likes it. So at 16, I'm like, hey, if I can get there at 16, I'm doing something right.
Yeah, dude.
But my ex-wife used to take the notes out of her lunchbox and she's like, how do you read his handwriting? She's like, I've read so many of his notes, I can decipher them.
That's great. All right, what's next?
Okay. I didn't give you the points. I don't even know which ones. I just get it. Okay. Okay. Brainstorming session or silent focus time?
Ooh. I actually really enjoy my silent focus because where I do like a lot of collaboration, if I can just get a silent, like my drive time is my normal, like I'll shut everything off and just drive and really think to myself about stuff. I like to be organized before I come to a table with ideas. So I would say the silent focus.
What about you?
I'm going to go the other one.
Shut up.
Yep.
Okay, so you got it correct.
Can I get my reason?
No.
You got a point.
You would have won.
I was wrong. So
okay.
And I can't tell my reason either.
Okay. Deadline met or perfect achievement?
That's tough. Like, a lot of these are really tough. You got some good questions here. I would say perfect achievement because we're in indie comics and hitting a deadline is great. But if you deliver something even on time and it's only like half done, you know, and you didn't put all of your effort into it, I think you're doing a disservice to your fans. Now, I think there needs to be a balance. I think if you're going to be late, you better deliver something really good. But if I were a backer on a campaign and I got a notice, hey, I need 2 more weeks because I want to add these pages and it's just not coming together right, hey, take it, you know? Now, if you're releasing the newest update for, like, I'm a big Space Marine 2 Warhammer gamer, and I want my update on time because guess what? You guys get paid a lot of money. You should be on time.
Right, for sure.
You're not independent. But, you know, I do believe that it's better to be late and perfect than on time and half done.
I like that was a hard one for me because I would much rather have a deadline and meet, like, I'm a scheduled person. Like, I like to meet a schedule and be early, right? But I really did enjoy really not having a schedule. Like, I had a personal deadline for myself to finish the book, right? But it was like I could adjust that, and when they, you know, it gave me the being able to do that or have the freedom to do that. Taught me that I could do that, right? So it was helpful for me to be less strict on myself.
Okay, so drum roll, please.
Oh, we're done? Okay, what's the final score?
Okay, wait, hold on, I got this. Congratulations. So each point is 100 points, okay, for him. Your points are 50.
All rigged!
So you have 250 points. You're not in the negatives this time.
At least I'm not in the negatives. Hey, I'll take that.
I know. Okay, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Wait, 1, 2.
A lot
more
than
good over here.
Yeah, you're killing it.
Okay, you got 9,000.
All right, you got to give a victory speech.
I think you got 900, but I added an extra zero. Okay.
I want to thank her math skills for one.
My math teacher would be so
thank all of my friends and family, and I of course I have to thank God for giving me all of this time with you today. No, but in all seriousness, thank you both. I'm so happy that I was your first interview. I'm really happy I'm here now about a year later with you guys. And you're still crushing it. I'm very proud of both of you. It was awesome meeting you and now seeing you put out your own book. I'm sorry I missed it. I will see it in Connecticut.
Yep.
Fun story. I'm originally from Connecticut, so that's my home stomping ground. Yeah, and I'm stoked. I've never done a con in Connecticut.
We have to
really
go to some pizza place one night or get some.
Yeah.
So we need to do that one night. We all have to go get dinner.
Very excited. But yeah, so really, again, thanks for your patience with me and
no
everything
worries,
and you know, love being on here. And I'm really, I like you said, when she started this, she was shy. I'm really proud of you, you know, as a girl dad myself, putting yourself out there and doing all this, that's huge. So congrats to you for doing all this, because that's really big. At 11 years old.
Yeah.
You know, my girlfriend has an 11-year-old, and I know how, like, she gets all shy in herself. And I remember my daughter when she was 11, and she's trying to figure everything out. And, like, I would be on a live, and she wouldn't even walk by the door in case she was possibly on camera. So the fact that you sit here and talk about comics with your dad, that's awesome. So really love this show. AJ, I can't wait to see you again in Connecticut. And thank
It'll
you, guys.
Happen.
Just
Good
don't tell any
weekend.
Of my classmates.
Yeah, she still wants her classmates to know.
I will make sure I don't tell any of them because they're all on my speed dial, you know?
Right.
Oh, wait, what?
Well, Chris, thanks so much for joining. It's been great. And we'll do it again. I've got Dan coming on soon. I think,
yes. Maybe Bigfoot Knows Karate. Yep. God Killer launches next Wednesday, May 6th.
Okay.
See, we are doing a live launch like we always do. And we have a lot of guests. So we're hoping, you know, to get that funding. This book will be a little bit higher on the fund scale because he's hiring an artist to do it.
Okay.
So you know, and the artwork is just phenomenal. Really excited for this one. I'm excited for every book we put out. Like every, that's one thing when people ask about Homebrewed Comics, every comic Homebrewed puts out is one of our books. It's not just Dan's book or my book. It's a Homebrewed comic.
Right.
And so, you know, we kicked off this year. We did a, we presented Burlap. You know, Jesse was just getting back in, so we really wanted to help him. So we got Burlap funded, and that one's coming out. So you got Burlap Volume 1 in color. We funded that one. We funded Crit, and now we're going to fund, you know, Bigfoot Knows Karate. And so, again, first quarter, we're having three funded Kickstarters. We're stoked. Look forward to showing you guys what we're doing at the end of the year.
I can't wait. Yeah. And I will see you in 2 months.
I have one.
Yes, you will.
Oh, go ahead.
Do you guys do a, what's it called? Whatnot?
Yes.
Yeah, Dennis does the Whatnot show.
He's crushed it with that. I mean, it's, so Whatnot is a beast of its own, and
yeah,
we're one of like a few comic publishers that are on there, so he's got to find his groove in there. But, you know, that's doing very well for, especially because it's a new area for comic book publishing. And what's really cool about Whatnot, what I really like, is we have these remarks that you can't get anywhere else. You know, when we do our Kickstarter stuff, anything left over doesn't go to cons. It goes to the Whatnot. So if, you know, right, if you want to collect things that nobody else can get, that goes to our Whatnot shop. And Dennis is just, Dennis is the personality. You know, like Dan and I are really good at talking, but Dennis is the personality. And if you don't know Drew, that's because he does not like being on lives. I love Drew death though. We are putting out the, Drew is our back end programmer, like writer extra, like he's all the stuff in the background. And I'm going to tell you this, we have, we are working on our own crowdfunding platform for our website. Ooh. So that we can be a one-stop shop for everything we want to do. And I'm buying a printer this summer so we can do short run printing. I worked in printing for 8 years. And Drew and I for the past 2 years have been researching affordable short run printers. Mm-hmm. And so I'll be picking one of those up probably July, August time. So for the end of the year, we'll be able to do convention prints, you know, 11x17, like the posters and things. Things that like we arguably lose some money on the shipping side, you know, like profit margins are really low in comics. So the more we can keep in house is what the goal is. And when you're losing 7% to Kickstarter and you're paying shipping on these things, like we, so that's one thing that Homebrewed this year will really launch and set. I like doing things that like keep us out, like out of the minutia of what everybody else is doing. And so 2026, by the end of 2026, you're going to see a lot of big things coming from us. And I'm really proud of everybody on my team. Dennis has been growing that Whatnot. Dan is just, he's pumping out these Bigfoot Knows Karate books, and he's really been integral in the community part of things. Like he's very interconnected with so many creators that I don't know anybody else that can navigate that like he does. And like I said, with Drew on the programming side, getting our website up, him and Dan actually built the website. So if you go there, I've had a lot of people say, oh, I love your website. I'm like, that's Drew and Dan.
Yeah.
I built the first one and they tore it down and built a much better one.
Yeah. I'm using like template websites. It's crazy. But
Dan was like, hey, I'm building this thing. And Drew got into it. And they, and I was like, guys, I built the first one and I like web design, but I'm not that into it. You guys have fun with
have
it.
Have fun.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you know, we have Probo too. I don't shout out enough that we are in retail. Right. So, you know, if you go to your comic book shop and you can just tell them, I want to buy Crit, I want to buy Homebrewed Comics, and just tell your local comic book shop to go to Philbo Distribution, and we're right on there. And Philbo's got some cool stuff coming out because he does his own in-house printing too. So we don't, we just give him, he takes the orders, we give him the files, and he prints and ships it, which is the first distributor that actually has done that. So that's really cool for comic book shops.
He's about to open that up to everybody.
Yep.
To the printing process. So I just saw that online the other day, which is, the pricing didn't seem too bad. So
Nope. As someone who has negotiated printing contracts before, like, because we do a lot of printing, And I've worked with multiple printers, and the cost, I mean, there is a high cost involved for these print shops. So for Phil to really offer these things, and he's doing it, you know, say what you will about Phil, but he is bringing something to the indie comic community that is to help everyone. And printing is something that, you know, just as well as I do, mm-hmm. there's a big cost involved. It can make or break your campaign sometimes. You know, we talked about releasing a book that's perfect. Well, sometimes when it's perfect, now you've added four pages, which adds an extra 50 cents per book to the cost. Now, if you have 100 books, you know what I mean? Like, that cost just goes up.
Yeah, it's expensive. And that was another reason why I wanted to do a print run and have in my hands before I launched the Kickstarter, just mm-hmm. so I could be like, all right, I have it. I know it's good. I know it's, you know, great quality. Too good a quality. We went a little overboard on, like, you know, these really nice thick cardstock and gloss.
Costs an 80-pound paper.
Yeah, like, we know the name of the paper now. It's crazy. But just
we could talk paper.
Yeah.
As someone, like I said, when I worked in printing, I have conversations with the printer. I'm like, what brand paper do you use? What weight is it? You know, and they're like, what? And I'm like, I want 70-pound this. I want 80-pound that. I want on high gloss. I want on, you know, matte or whatever. And they're like, okay, so this guy knows this stuff.
Yep.
And I ran a printing hub in Connecticut for 8 years.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, when my first day, I was working in a different department, and my boss was like, hey, I had to fire the guy that works over there because he told a customer off. He like literally cussed the customer out. And I'm like, I've never used a printer in my life. And he's like, well, you're going to have to figure it out. And I go over there and it's a hub. So we have orders that come in from all over the East Coast. I have a whole counter full of clients, and I'm sitting there in this little Shoreline shop. And I look at everybody. I'm like, hey, how about everybody go get coffee? Come back. By the time you get back, I'll figure out where the start button is and I'll have an order done. And I sat there and I'm just like messing up all day. And I'm giving discounts left and right. And I'm 17 years old, just getting yelled at. And I'm just rolling with the punches. And by the end, I got through all the orders. And then my boss was like, hey, this shop down in Jersey just asked where their order is. And I'm like, I don't even know where their order is. It was so disorganized. They had sticky notes on stacks of paper. And I'm like, how am I supposed to know what this is? And 8 years later, I was just like on top of it, leading like all these like calls, and I'm going to all these different meetings and stuff. And so I'm personally very excited to get back into printing,
right?
Because it was such a big part of my life. And I'm like, hey, look, when I told you things come full circle, you know, I was in the music business. Now my record label guy owns a comic book store. I worked in printing for so long. Now I'm going to start printing. And before I even got into comic books, I worked in distribution. So I know the distribution game, and because of that, I also know the licensing game. So like all these different things I've collected over the years, I'm like Pokemon over here. I'm like, let me take this one. It's just a cool experience. So really happy to talk to you guys. I could talk all day. I'm going to shut up. I got another show in 45 minutes. I got to get prepared for.
Get ready.
And thank I you so much.
Thank you so much for joining again. This has been great. Thanks for coming back on Talk Comics. We'll definitely have you back. And if see you, I will see you in August.
Yes, sir.
Have a good one, buddy.
Later.
Bye.
All right. I think we're going to wrap the show there. That was awesome. We can do that. Let's save that one for next week. Let's save it for now. You got to do the whole one with Chris. Show off your thing again. Just hold up the box.
Oh, yes.
Just hold up the box. So this will be in her background with a Yellow Bird comic sign. Thank you again, Yellow Bird Comics. Go check them out if you're in Fuquay. Go check out your local comic book store on Saturday. I think every comic book store in the country is probably doing something for this Saturday for Free Comic Book Day. So go check out your store this Saturday. If you want to find us, we will be at Hidden Temple Toys in Selma, North Carolina. And, Chris will be at Capital Comics. And I know Jesse, who was on a couple weeks ago, will be at Yellowbird all day. So come, you know, go check out your local comic shop. Thank you, Yellowbird. Thank you, Allegra Printing. We talked a lot of printing this episode. Talked about Crit. Go back, Crit. right now. It's live on Kickstarter. Follow the Homebrew Comics guys. Those guys are fantastic. You learned today, like I said, Chris was my first ever interview. All the guys we've met in person, we've talked to them. I talked to them online quite a bit. They keep me straight. They, you know, help me if I'm doing something wrong or I should be doing something different. They point it out, like they help me. Yeah, so just go help those guys. Go support them. Support us. But yeah, thanks for joining and have a wonderful week. See you next time on Talking Comics
Podcast. I like that. Yeah.
We don't just talk about comics. We made one.
And it's called The Chronicles of Pam and Pete.
At Talking Comics, we interview creators, show off our comic calls,
play fun games, and show what we're learning firsthand.
Get a free preview of The Chronicles of Panel Pete by subscribing to our Substack.
Watch the trailer and all the video episodes on YouTube.
Or listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow along, like, subscribe.
Trying to start a podcast but feeling stuck? At Aquatio, we help creators make waves with everything you need to bring your voice to life. Hosting, recording, editing, and marketing. Whether you're starting from scratch or just need a little help polishing your sound, we're here to hydropower your creativity. Comment on this video or DM us today and let's dive in.